Preeminent day. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Mahom Vishnu Devaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhujalay Srimati Bhakti Vinata Swami Vita Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Vichara Vyasa Sisani Manifasta. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Pitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Vajikalpa Jupishcha Chitis Lavi Vitapitichana Pavani Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
It's February 17, 2019, the appearance day of Lord Rama in Glory of India Temple in Delhi. We have translation. Someone's going to be translating. Oh, translation is in the back. So it's going to be simultaneous translation. Who's doing the translating? So we're on Canto 3, Chapter 18, the battle between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha, Text 6. Are we done?
Shloka is done.
Shloka is done. Beautiful handwriting. Lord Chaitanya appreciated Rupa Goswami's handwriting. He said they were like rolls of pearls. So your handwriting is also very beautiful. Looks like it's printed. Sadhu Jamano Ritu Kuturukta Tomarar.
Sadhu Jamano Ritu Kuturukta
Tomarar. I'll try it again. Yadu Jamano Ritu Kuturukta. No, just same. Help me with that. Yadu Jamano Ritu Kuturukta Tomarar.
Sadhu Jamano Ritu Kuturukta Tomarar.
Tamstraga Gangam Upalakshya Vitam Todam Rishan Niragadam Bhumadhyad Rahata Sakara Nuryateva. Adi, of the enemy, Durukta, by the abusive words, Tomarai, by the weapons, Damstra Agra, on the ends of his tusks, Gam, situated, Gam, the earth, Ubalakshya, seen, Bhitam, frightened, Todam, the pain, Rishab, bearing, Niragat, he came out, Ambu Majat, from the midst of the water, Graha, by a crocodile, Ahatha, attacked, Sakanenu, along with the she elephant, Yata, as Ibaha, an elephant. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon. You all know what a shaft is? Like the stick part of an arrow? Like a stick? A shaft is like a stick. So shaft-like, they're piercing abusive words of the demon. He bore the pain. But seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. So the earth is actually the Lord's female companion. She's his wife. Yes, and the simile is very appropriate. So Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Mayavadi philosopher cannot understand that the Lord has feelings. The Lord is satisfied if someone offers him a nice prayer, and similarly, if someone decries his existence or calls him by ill names, God is dissatisfied. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is decried by the Mayavadi philosophers, who are almost demons. They say that God has no head, no form, no existence, and no legs, hands, or other bodily limbs. In other words, they say that he is dead or lame. All these misconceptions of the Supreme Lord are a source of dissatisfaction to him. He is never pleased with such atheistic descriptions. In this case, although the Lord felt sorrow from the piercing words of the demon, he delivered the earth for the satisfaction of the demigods who are ever his devotees. The conclusion is that God is as sentient as we are. He is satisfied by our prayers and dissatisfied by our harsh words against him. In order to give protection to his devotees, he is always ready to tolerate insulting words from the atheists. Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain. But seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water just as an elephant emerges with its female companions when assailed by an alligator. So, in this Leela of the Lord that we are especially remembering today, we can meditate on the fact that the Lord is as sentient as we are. We have emotions. Without emotions, we are simply an artificial intelligence computer. Yes? That's all. What is the difference between very evolved artificial intelligence, your phone, your computer, and a living being? Your computer can think. In fact, it can probably think better than you. Very difficult to beat a computer in chess. But it has no feelings. If you say to your phone, "You foolish phone, I will kill all of your relatives," the phone does not care. The phone does not feel insulted. Yes? There's no pain. And if you say to the phone, "You beautiful phone, you are my dear friend," the phone does not care. So then, what makes us a living being? Descartes said it is thoughts. It is not thoughts. It is desire. It is emotion. That is the essence of bhakti. Bhakti is the interplay of the emotion between the soul and God. That is the essence of bhakti, to love God. Love is an emotion, to desire to serve God. These are the symptoms of a living being. So God is the supreme living being. Nitya Nityanam Chaitanya Chaitanya. He is the supreme. He says to Arjuna, there was never a time when you and me and all these kings did not exist, nor will we cease to exist in the future. He is a person. And when you say God is not a person, his feelings are hurt. Like if I would say to any of you, "You are inhuman. You are not a person. You have no feelings." It would be painful. Huh? So here we have abusive, shaft-like words. Later in the Bhagavatam, it is stated that painful words can hurt more than physical pain. And I think we have had this experience, yes? that emotional pain can be more devastating than physical pain. Of course, some of you men might like to pretend that you have no emotions. But again, then you are simply a computer, so I don't know if you want to be just a computer. I mean, I have seen one man, a devotee man, that he was planning to marry this girl, and then she said, "Actually, I don't want to marry you." And he cried for 3 days. Painful words. They can be worse than if you break your arm. Yes? Especially when the painful words are from someone you care about. So we might ask, all right, I know I am pained when I am insulted or I am hurt, but that is because I am a conditioned soul and I am trying to enjoy this world and I am trying to enjoy my relationships with other living beings. I think I need them to feel complete. And I think, oh, if this person doesn't like me anymore, just like Sukracharya, when Bali Maharaj was going to give 3 steps to Vamadeva, Sukracharya became very afraid for himself. He said, if you give everything to Vishnu, how will you live and how will you pay me? So generally, the reason we are affected by insulting words is we are afraid for some sort of security. We think, if my mother, my father, my husband, my wife, the leader of the Brahmachari ashram, or any whoever it is, if they don't like me anymore, then I will lose my something. I will lose my place to live, I will lose my position, I will lose my respect, I will lose my salary, I will lose something. Generally, that is why we become upset, because we are thinking, I need this person and the relationship with this person in order to fulfill my desires. And if this person doesn't like me, this person doesn't respect me, then I will suffer in some way. And most of the time, for most conditioned souls, that is why we become so angry and fearful. We feel threatened. We feel that there is some threat to us. Here, the demon is actually saying, I will kill you, I will smash your head into pieces. No. So if someone is threatening us like that, again, we become afraid. Because we think, I am this body, and if this body is damaged, or this body is dead, then what will happen to me? But we could ask, if somebody is a self-realized soul, what do you speak of? God. How could this operate? If I understand that I am eternal, I cannot be killed. I cannot be hurt by any weapon. Krishna lists the weapons, yes? Water, cannot be dried, cannot be moistened, cannot be broken into pieces. So it becomes laughable. I will break your head. You cannot break my head, I am a soul. My head cannot be broken. You can break the body, but I am not the body. Oh, break the body, what do I care? And we see that with great souls like Haridas Thakur, he's like, you want to beat me in 23 marketplaces? You go ahead. You cannot beat me. I am the soul. And the soul is Atmarama, satisfied in themselves. Krishna says very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that a self-realized soul has no need to depend on any other living being. They have no reason to do their duty, no reason to give up their duty, and they're not dependent on any other living being. Therefore, whoever insults you or threatens us, what does it matter if we are Atmarama? If we are self-satisfied, it shouldn't matter at all. And in fact, that is the basis of the verse Trinada Peace in Chena, Amanina Malidena Kirtaniya Sarahari. If you know that you are a soul, then other people's insults are nothing. You're hardly even aware of them because they cannot pertain to the self. What to speak of for God? If that is true for a self-realized soul, that is true even for an impersonalist, frankly, then why would not that be true for God? Why would God care if this puny little jiva of a demon is spouting some rubbish? I will kill you. It's like, you can't kill me, I'm God. I'm going to smash your head, smash my head. You know, this is all absurd. And so you think he would just be, who cares what you say? So how is it that the Lord and the devotees are actually affected? We find in the story of Jad Bharata and King Urugana, at the very end of that story, it is stated in the Bhagavatam that Jad Bharata felt some waves of dissatisfaction at the abusive words of the king. But again, he bore the pain, like Varaha. So what is the cause of this satisfaction, of this dissatisfaction? If we would like to attain to pure love of God, who would like to attain to pure love of God? Who would like to attain pure love of God today? Oh, very good. So the main doorway between the struggling stage of bhakti and the easy stage of bhakti is this Trinadapi verse. Srila Prabhupada says, until the stage of nishta, it is a hard struggle with determination, and after that, everything comes very easily. You can think about, like, if you are riding your bicycle up a hill, maybe you have to get out and walk it, and going down the hill, it is, you don't even have to pedal. Yeah, just a little steering. And according to Bhaktivinoda in his Bhajana Rahasya, the verse of the Shikshastika that indicates the platform of nishta is this verse, Trinadapi. Trinadapi means if somebody insults you, you are not affected. If someone threatens you, you are not affected. You do not care about respect from others, and you respect everybody. So it would be good for us to understand, what does that mean? Because once we come to nishta, Krishna consciousness is very easy. There's no more struggle. The struggle with the mind, struggle with maya is basically over. It's still sadhana bhakti, but easy. Just little steering of the bike. It is good to understand what is our bhakti idea. Because the impersonalists think here, as Prabhupada is saying, that the way we become free from being affected by insults and threats is we lose our emotions. They think God has no emotions and the liberated soul has no emotions. That is their idea. And sometimes in bhakti, we also try to kill our emotions. This is a mistake. First of all, that is not even really Gyan Yoga or Astanga Yoga or Karma Yoga. It is Mayavada. Actually. Instead, we want to understand, what is the bhakti idea? So why is the Lord here feeling pain? He is not feeling pain because he is threatened. Is he threatened? No. Can the Lord be threatened, actually? No. You may argue with me, wait a minute, Ornella, what about in the prayers of Queen Kunti, where she said, how are you feeling fear from Mother Yasoda? But that is not on the platform of tattva, that is on the platform of rasa. And there the Lord likes to feel that Mother Yasoda can actually hurt him. He is enjoying that relationship with Mother Yasoda. That's on a different platform. But the Lord cannot feel afraid that someone's going to threaten him. It's absurd. So what is he pained about? He's pained about the demon who's threatening him. Because when someone is threatening the Lord, He cannot have a loving relationship with the Lord, and without a loving relationship with the Lord, he cannot be happy. Just think, if you had a very nice meal, very tasty, cooked by the best cooks, offered to Krishna with love and devotion, all the most first-class ingredients. Whenever I'm in Italy, I say, how is it you always have the best prasadam? They say, because it's all locally, organically grown, heirloom seed ingredients. So the best ingredients, best cooks, best bhakti, you have this wonderful meal, and somebody comes in and without even eating it, without even practically looking at it, they are criticizing the meal. You may feel sad. Oh, there's such pleasure here. They are not getting to have it. I'm sure sometimes we have some very, very nice thing that we want to share with people that we care about, but I will not even look at it. Yes? Everyone has had this experience? You see something, you read something, you taste something. Here, try it. Did you see that message I sent you 2 weeks ago? No, I didn't look. Oh, you should look, only 2 minutes. It's so nice, and I'm busy. And if we like the person, if we care about the person, then we feel some sadness that this person is not happy. That is love. Lust is, I want to use you for my happiness. Love is, I become happy at your happiness. That is love. Prabhupada said that is the difference between material and spiritual. Material is, I am happy when you are unhappy. He said, we don't like to admit this, but it is actually the fact. That is why we criticize people, by the way. That is why Rupa Goswami said, the pure devotee has no desire to criticize. Why do we criticize? Because we are taking pleasure. This other person is terrible. They are suffering. They should suffer. Make sure they suffer. There's envy. And spiritual is, I want everyone to be happy, even my enemies. Everyone should be happy. If my enemy is happy, I am happy. So the pain the Lord is feeling here is this poor Hiranyaka. He can't be happy. Such unfortunate. He thinks he's going to be happy by beating me up instead of tasting love with me. And he's also unhappy because Hiranyaka is threatening his devotees. He loves his devotees. And Hiranyaka is saying, I'm going to kill all your devotees. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says that he knows Brahma and the other demigods, they are hearing this demon, and they are feeling sad that the Lord is criticized. You know, if someone is criticizing my friend, my father, I am unhappy. Right? So he knows, my devotees, they are hearing this criticism of me, hearing that I am being threatened. And he is feeling compassion. So this compassion the Lord is feeling for Hiranyaksha, for the devotees, that is love. And sadness, when it is part of love, is ecstatic. It's a rasa. It's called the karuna rasa. You know, materially, sadness is sadness. It's the opposite of happiness. But even materially, we have some sense that compassion and sadness can be pleasurable. That is why there are sad films. Yes? People go to see a sad film, correct? They'll say, was it a good film? Oh, it was a wonderful film. So there is some idea that compassion and sadness is a rasa. So the Lord is feeling this compassion for the devotees and compassion for Hiranyaksha, and he is tasting rasa. In a similar way, we can actually feel compassion for those who hurt us. So here it is said the Lord was bearing the pain. So for materialistic people, they have three ways of dealing with difficult or painful emotions. One is they express the emotions. They scream, they cry, they sit in their chair and mope. Oh, I'm so terrible. They go over their guilt over and over. They express their emotions, which means they are trying to enjoy them. So when materialistic people express their emotions, they are trying to squeeze some rasa out of those emotions. My dear friends, material emotions will not give you any rasa. It's like the outside of a grain of rice where the rice is already removed. Also, when we express our emotions, we usually damage our relationships. Yes? Okay. Next thing that materialists try to do is they try to escape from their emotions. They play a video game, they watch a movie, they get very, very busy so they don't have time to feel anything, or they take some intoxicant. They try to escape. And the other thing materialists try to do is they try to repress their emotions. I don't actually have any emotions. And there is a tremendous amount of evidence that repressing emotions lead to all kinds of diseases. So sometimes devotees also fall into these traps, that we may try to express our emotions, our materialistic emotions, or we may try to escape them. We may get very busy in our service just to try to stop feeling anything. Or we may also think, well, I'm supposed to control my mind and my emotions, so I should repress my emotions. But this is all in the materialistic way. This is just bhogatyaga, bhogatyaga, bhogatyaga. This is just attachment and aversion. So that's not the way of bhakti. When it's saying the Lord bore the emotions, that's not what this means at all. So, my dear friends, as long as we have a material body, the body and mind will be subject to material emotions. This is nicely explained in Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 22 to 25. That he says, as long as we have a material body and mind, materialistic thoughts and emotions will go through the body and mind. So how are we going to deal with them so we can actually be at the Trimatranadipi verse, go through Nishtha and come to Prema Bhakti? How will we do it? So first let's look at how we deal with this attachment and aversion. Because this is a method used also in the other forms of yoga by the Gyan Yogis, Karma Yogis, and Astanga Yogis, and is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Then one should realize that I am the observer, that these emotions going through the mind and body are not me. Neither try to enjoy them, nor try to kill them. Something like the way we deal with some dog on the street. We don't go and pet the dog, and we don't throw a rock at the dog. We just walk past the dog. There is a dog, okay? It is a dog. And in a similar way, we can, in my mind there is some anger, in my mind there is some fear, in my mind there is some guilt, but it is just a dog on the street. I will not feed it, and I will not kill it. I will leave it, and it will go away by itself. So this is a very important part, actually, of sadhana, of in any yoga system. And Krishna is very clear on this point when he talks about the fall-down sequence in Bhagavad Gita 2, 62 and 63. In 2.64, he says you should be free from attachment and aversion. And in 14.22 to 25, he says that one who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they appear, nor long for them when they disappear, who remains neutral, knowing that the modes alone are active. So that is there. But if that is all that we do, then we need to also add bhakti. That is part of our practice of bhakti, undoubtedly. Just like it's part of any part of yoga, it's throughout the Gita, throughout the Bhagavatam. But it is not enough. It's necessary, but it is not sufficient. We also need to turn those emotions into their original form. to find the actual bhakti rasa. Instead of trying to squeeze some rasa materially, we need to have some actual rasa. Param drisva nivartate. If you just simply try to deal in a detached way with the material emotions, it will not ultimately be satisfying. Yes, a person will find great peace. That is a fact. If you just practice detachment, you will find peace. Trajam chanti harayana. Yes, that is a fact. But peace is not enough. Yes? Anandamaya vyasad. We want pleasure. So to turn those emotions into something of bhakti. It can just be compassion for the person who is insulting us. We might just think in our mind, may you become happy. May you learn your lessons through joy. Even if we think the person is a royal donkey, we can think, my dear foolish donkey, may you learn your lessons through joy. Oh, my dear Maha Aparadi, may you learn your lessons through joy. May you not have to suffer for your offenses. We want to learn through joy, yes? Anybody want to learn through pain? If you had a choice to learn through joy or through pain, would you learn through joy? Yes. So you wish that for your enemies also, because what you wish for others comes back to you. If you want your enemies to suffer for their mistakes, then you will also suffer for your mistakes. That's how the world works. So turn it to some compassion. Even if the person is a complete donkey aparati, may you learn through joy. May you not have to suffer. May you find some happiness. And you have some compassion. And then we see here, what else does the Lord do? He is focusing on service. We might think only we are serving the Lord, but the Lord is also serving the devotees. He says, Yoga Kshema Vahamraham, I like to take care of my devotees, our acharyas comment. Don't think this is a burden for Krishna. He enjoys. We enjoy. If we have children, we enjoy taking care of our children, at least most of the time. Yes? Yes? Wife enjoys taking care of the husband. Husband enjoys taking care of the wife. We like taking care of our friends, isn't it? Yes? So the Lord also likes to take care of His devotees. And Lord Varaha is focused on service, especially to whom? Who is He focused on serving? Anybody remember the verse we read half an hour ago? So long ago. Dharani. He's focused on serving his wife. She's afraid. It says she's frightened. She's afraid. The demon, it says in the second canto, the demons were pulling oil out of the earth, the lifeblood of the earth, and they made the earth off balance, and she fell into the bottom of the ocean, and she's afraid. She's scared. And the Lord is a hero. He sees that his woman is afraid. Naturally, he's heroic. I'll save you. So some service, and he's thinking about the other devotees, the demigods, Brahma, the other devotees. They are also scared. Oh, there's this big demon. So to turn our emotions to service. Well, we are so affected by insults and people offending us. Who are we thinking about? When I am so angry and upset that someone has insulted me, who am I thinking about? Who am I thinking about? Myself, yes? How did you do that to me? I'm so wonderful. How dare you? I'm thinking about myself only. What service can I do? How can I serve Krishna? How can I serve my guru? How can I serve the devotees? What is the best way I can respond to this insult, to this offense, to myself, such that it will be of service to the devotees? Now that doesn't mean I run around to all the devotees, look at this apparati who insulted me, don't have anything to do with him, and that's my service to the devotees. No, not usually. Prabhupada didn't like that. If someone had to fall down, someone had some difficulty, it happened, you know. There was this one sannyasi, he gave up his sannyas, went off with a woman, and the devotees wrote letters to all the temple presidents in the world. Prabhupada was very angry. He said, now you have embarrassed him, you have shamed him. How will he go on in bhakti? Well, that is not our service. It's not that our service is to tell everyone how we were insulted. This person insulted me. Don't be friends with him. Don't give him any service. That is not how we serve the devotees. We can serve the devotees by showing compassion, by showing humility, by showing forgiveness. Because everybody needs to imbibe this verse Trinadavi. Everybody. We can show an example for others how we are actually imbibing it. Not through repression, not artificially, but through bhakti. That is the best service we can do. So here the Lord is exemplifying. Of course he does fight with the demon because the demon was insisting. But he's exemplifying the mood that we should also imbibe. In this world, we will get insulted and offended. That will happen. Maybe it will only happen once in a year. Maybe it will happen once in a day. But it will happen. Even people we trust, people we care about, they will sometimes offend us and insult us. So when we feel these emotions welling in us, we can remember to be detached from the material emotions, neither trying to enjoy them or kill them, to turn them into bhakti, and to focus on service. And to remember that the Lord also has emotions. Just as I have emotions, as Prabhupada says here, he is as sentient as we are. These leelas of the Bhagavatam are not here for us to memorize the plot details. Sometimes we think the purpose of these leelas is so I can retell the story and get all the facts right. That is not the purpose. It is not for a trivia exam. And different incarnations, the facts are different. Like in the second canto, it says that Varaha killed Hiranyaksha by piercing him with his tusk. And here it says he slapped him with his foot. So the Acharya said he slapped him with his foot and then he pierced him with his tusk. Or it could be different incarnations and different devotees seeing the pastimes from different angles of vision may describe them differently in terms of the facts. The purpose of these lila is to exchange rasa. For the Lord to exchange rasa with his devotees. That is actually his interest. And when we meditate on these pastimes, and especially today, we can meditate on this pastime of Varaha, our purpose is to enter into the feelings and the desires of the Lord. And to think, am I giving the Lord pain or pleasure? That is actually our purpose, not just to become Krishna conscious, because Hiranyaksha is right now very Krishna conscious. But to become dear to Krishna. To please him. Not just to be aware of him, but to bring him some happiness. And how do we bring Krishna happiness? We bring Krishna happiness by our being happy in his service. We cannot really give him happiness in the sense he is already complete. But he becomes happy when he sees that we are genuinely happy in spiritual life. That is the happiness we can give him. When because of loving him, because of serving him, we are satisfied, he becomes very satisfied. So thank you very much. Anyone have any questions, comments, additions, subtractions, chastisements? Do we have a traveling mic? Does anyone have a question? There's a question there. Do we have a microphone? And one there. Microphone? Is there a microphone? Or you can say and I'll repeat. Ah, microphone's coming.
Thank you, Madhuri. Such a wonderful lecture. I had a question that you mentioned in Britain that materialists try to escape their emotions.
Yes.
So, what should we do by being in a bhakti that we also face so many pressures and everything and different types of emotions? So, what should we do that our bhakti is not get affected by these emotions?
Okay. So, then just go over what I discuss. So, first thing is detachment. Don't try to enjoy your material emotions by expressing them and getting into them and thinking about them. Don't try to escape them by turning on the Netflix or whatever, World of Warcraft or whatever. And don't try to oppress them. I don't have any emotions. I'm a machine. But instead, just observe him. Oh, there's an emotion. Okay. You can stay, you can go, how long as you like. I don't care. I'm not going to feed you, and I'm not going to kill you. And then turn our thoughts and feelings to bhakti and service. Srila Prabhupada said, just like the business person is riding in the car, and they know how much petrol is in the car. They know if the car is turning right or left. They know. But they are absorbed in their business. So you know, in my body there is some lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, whatever. It's there. It will come. You know it is in the body. But you're not concerned. Okay. Here it is. You will come, you will go. Like the rivers going into the ocean. And you'll be absorbed in your business. For the material emotions, be the observer and put your consciousness into your service and the spiritual emotions. And then you'll find the immaterial emotions, desires, they will go very quickly. Like 1-2 minutes, they will pass through. Even if they stay a few hours, no, just let them be. Like a monkey sitting at your window or something. You sit there, okay, you sit there, I'm doing my own business. You want to stay? You want to go? I don't care. I'm, you know, and they can shake it. I have bars on my windows. I don't care. I'm doing my own business. So have the material emotions be like, you don't feed the monkey. That's a bad, bad idea. You don't let the monkey into your house. That's a very bad idea. Don't do that. And you don't kill the monkey. It's a monkey. Krishna's material energy is Krishna's monkey. And you become absorbed in your business. That takes practice. Krishna says it is undoubtedly difficult to control the restless mind, but it is practice. It is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Practice, practice, practice. That's part of sadhana. Sadhana means practice. You have to make some effort, but it will become easier and easier and easier and easier and easier. And sometimes you will fail and you will feed your monkey and you will let your monkey into your house and the monkey will destroy your house and go, oh no, I let the monkey into my house. Okay, clean up the house, fix the bars. Next time he stays outside and I keep to my own business. Okay? Yes?
Hare Krishna, Madhuri.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, being compassion is from mind, but there are situations that somebody have had to express the emotion. My question is, the basic is, when to retaliate the offense?
When do you retaliate an offense? If the offense is against you, never. If someone else has been offended, you can defend them. But if the offense is against you, never. You can go to the police and you can report a crime for the good of that person and the good of society. But an offense against yourself, never. It will entangle you in karma. And you will become as guilty as the perpetrator, according to Dharma the Bull. Is it all right to express emotion? Sometimes superficially, like there was this snake who was a disciple of Narada, and Narada said, don't bite anybody. And then he came back, he said, how is it going? And he said, the children are throwing rocks at me. He says, okay, don't bite, but you can show your hood. But that is just superficial. That is just superficial. If you are actually feeling the emotion and you are expressing the emotion to try to enjoy it, that is very dangerous. Superficially, it may have to be there, especially if you're in charge of people sometimes. You cannot always just say to your children, please don't hit your sister with your fire trap. You know, you may have to say, hey, stop that. That may be required. But if you're acting out of anger, that's very dangerous. To the material emotions, we need to be neutral, always. Always. Even if you are defending someone else who is offended, it should be coming from the spiritual rasa of compassion, not the material emotions. Being controlled by the material emotions is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Pull you into the whole whirlpool of samsara and karma. The spiritual emotions in bhakti, we have more spiritual emotions than the materialists have. We're not afraid of emotions, but we're very afraid of the materialistic emotions that are all based on envy and bodily identification and lust. And we should be afraid of maya like that. That may not be the answer you wanted. Someone had a question over here?
Yes.
First, and then you, and then you'll have to stop, I think. You will feel so free when you do that. Just try it for a week. The amount of freedom and joy that you will have in your life when you practice this are so powerful that if anybody tried to convince you to go back into the material emotions, for the whole world, you would not do it.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for your wonderful discourse. My question is that as we are living in city life and we suffer a lot of insults, emotions,
in the country, people insult others also.
And Srila Prabhupada told that I have finished only 50% of my job because of the firm community of the Varnashram is still.
You want to talk about Varnashram? It's 9 minutes after nine.
So, how we can go out of it?
Seriously. At 9 minutes after nine, you want to have me talk about Varnashram? So I'm working with another devotee. We're writing a book on this topic. Seriously. We've already written it. We're in the stages of editing. We're focusing just on the career portion. We have one chapter on the life cycle, but mostly we're focusing on career. I will try to see if I can answer you in 1 minute. So Prabhupada says first varna, then ashram. So I would say that you want to focus first on varna means livelihood, means your career, that's what it means, and ashram means the stage of life. Usually it's in relation to age. So it's very easy actually to speak about livelihood because most of the principles of varna dharma are ones that people would accept at least theoretically. Ashram dharma is much more volatile in 2019, but the principles in the Shastra about career, like you should do things according to your nature and you should match your nature to your livelihood. I know in India, nobody seems to believe this. We think in India, you think there's only like three careers, you know? You ask anyone, what do you do for a living? Oh, I work in IT. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I work in IT. Oh, what do you do? I work in IT. What do you do? I work in IT. What do you do? Oh, I work in finance. That's like it. Maybe medical doctor. You won't find people say, oh, I'm a musician. If you say to your mother and father, I want to be a musician, they will be horrified. Or I want to be a teacher. What you will earn as a teacher? You know? So now in India, we think there's only one little piece of one varna. Honestly, in most of the rest of the world, they have more understanding of this than the Indians, and this is in your own scripture. Hare Krishna. So, first principle is what is your nature? That should be the way you earn a livelihood. And then there are other principles, like one should regularly worship the Supreme, one should give in charity, one should work without ego or lethargy, one should compete within one's career, cooperate between the careers, the difficulty with crossing paths, one should be careful of being tripped up by the various modes of nature. Certain modes of nature tend to impact certain careers more than others. So these are the principles given in the Shastra, and I fully, completely, 100% believe that we can start teaching these principles to the world in general. And through teaching these principles of career as given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, we can bring people to bhakti. Because ultimately, the principles of career are all related with bhakti. As far as the duties according to the life cycle, I believe that is much more difficult. There will be a big rebellion even by our ISKCON members. So if I were to preach that right now, I don't know if I would ever be invited back to this temple. And I could read it right out of Prabhupada's books. And people would say, I don't know if we want you here. Right? Prabhupada says, compulsory marriage for men by 24 and women for 16. So then I am finished. I am finished. Brahmachari ashram should be finished maximum 24, 25. Nobody will invite me back. They will say, where will all of our brahmacharis go? And I say, they will get married or they will become vadaprastha. Then, then you will wash the pots. So we cannot talk about these things. Now they want to get married at 35 or 45. And have only one child. And then renounce when you are 50. Renounce when I'm 50. No, when I'm 50, I'm going to get a second husband. So how do you kind of talk about this? It's very difficult. Yes? So that's, put that off there. Over here. Because you try to preach that even to the devotees, they will become very, no. But about livelihood, you can preach. That people are receptive. And anyway, Prabhupada says first, varna, then ashram. So as we are interested mostly in promoting bhakti, we are not actually so interested in promoting varna ashram. Mostly we're interested in promoting bhakti. But in order to prosecute bhakti nicely, it is good to have a sane and stable society. So my suggestion is you talk about career and don't look at the details. Like I asked one very senior devotee who was talking about varnashram, what are the principles of varnashram? He was saying, there are principles of varnashram. And I said, oh, my dear Maharaj, what are the principles? He said, taking care of cows and women should serve their husbands. I'm like, these are not principles of varnashram. These are details of one varna and details of one ashram. So we should understand what are the principles, because details will change according to time, place, and circumstance. So what are the principles? Like working according to your nature, giving some of what you earn in charity, regularly worshipping the Supreme, working without ego, working without lethargy, doing honest work, doing work that has actual transcendental value, being careful to not be tripped up by the modes of nature. These are principles. So that you can teach, but this requires some, as Prabhupada said to Burjan, intelligence. To know what is a principle and what is a detail. So that is my suggestion. And after we are getting all of Delhi to engage in bhakti and to follow the principles of career in the Shastra, then we can start talking about life cycle. But you can talk a little bit about it now, but be very careful. People will just leave. You know, and they will lose the chance to do bhakti. So. Just like Srila Prabhupada in his preaching, he didn't tell everybody everything immediately, you know? It's too much. But that career you can talk about. If we could have everybody's livelihood in the whole Delhi imagine if everyone in the whole Delhi metropolitan area, if they followed all the principles of livelihood according to the Shastra. And they were also engaging in bhakti, because that's one of the principles. Can you imagine what that would look like if you went out today, if you're out of the temple, everybody was honest, everybody was caring for their, they were protecting their sources of wealth, they were protecting their nature of their career, they were acting as a steward of their wealth instead of an exploiter. They were giving in charity, they were worshiping the Lord, they were situated according to their nature, they were acting without ego and without lethargy. Would that be wonderful? Yes? And I think everyone will find that attractive. Okay, one more. Trying to squeeze Varnashram into everything, huh? You a Varnashram buddy? Somehow we're talking about Lord Varaha, but I have to talk about Varnashram. Yes.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your discourse. I would like to ask you, as you in the beginning in this session, you talked about insight.
Yes, this is the whole verse is about insult. Yes.
So, because of the insult on the public platform, some people committed a crime, like committing suicide and committing murder. What do you say about it? What is the solution according to you, according to Vedas, according to Vedic literatures?
Solution to?
According to Vedas and public.
What?
Insulting publicly.
If someone insults you publicly, then you publicly demonstrate you're not a piece of each other. Very simple. That will be first class preaching. If you are talking, Krishna, 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 and someone insults you, him, 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 then all your preaching finished. Yes? Very nice. So thank you very much.